You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 8th, 2020, President Trump in a speech this morning said, it appears Iran is standing down. He's referring to those missile strikes fired last night at two targets where we had U.S. personnel in Iraq. No casualties, no Americans harmed, no Iraqi lives were lost. And today, he said, it appears Iran is standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned. I'm not so sure they're going to be standing down. But President Trump is to be praised for his restraint and not suddenly firing tons of missiles back last night. Doesn't mean we won't if there's a future event. In fact, I know we will. But at this point, he's trying to find a way to back everything down a little bit. Kuwait, by the way, had a message that came out the other day saying it got a letter from the commander of an American military base in Kuwait declaring it's immediately withdrawing all U.S. military forces. It's a lie. It's a lie. And now the Kuwait government says, yes, it came from our state-run news agency claiming American troops were set to leave, but it's bogus. Someone hacked into our system. We do know that Germany is pulling out a larger number of its deployment to Iraq after President Trump ordered the hit on the Iranian Major General Salami. Germans suddenly deciding we're out of here. Now, last hour, I had Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood of the Heritage Foundation. You got to go back and hear that. Go to my Larry Connors USA Facebook and hear that interview. And I discussed this German pullout specifically, and his answer was, it shows their cowardice. You got to hear that interview in full. Well, hours after this group of missiles, 15 of them, fired from Iraq into Iran, a Ukrainian jetliner, 176 passengers and crew on board, taken off from Tehran's airport, goes down. Everyone on board killed. No Americans on board. It's a Boeing 737-800. Ukrainian and even Iranian officials say they suspect a mechanical issue. They're not blaming it on anybody shooting it down. That is going to mean more problems and difficulty for Boeing. Cancer Society report, this is pretty good. The rate of those dying from cancer in the U.S. declining for the 26th year in a row. In 2016 to 17, we had the largest ever single-year drop and overall cancer deaths. And what they're also finding is the acceleration in the number of deaths from lung cancer is going down. Lung cancer, the leading cause of cancer death, causing more deaths than breast, colorectal, or prostate cancers combined. Could it be, in addition to all of our new information and technology and medical abilities, folks are getting away from cigarettes, and that is a big deal. You know, of course, about the wildfires burning all along the coastlines of Australia. We've had more than 20 killed, numerous pieces of property wiped out. Now they're reporting nearly half a billion animals, koalas, kangaroos, have probably been killed because of these fires. Why are they having the fires? It is not global warming. It has nothing to do with climate change. Yes, they have been dry, but that didn't start this. What they have found, according to police, arsonists, and they made more than 20 arrests at last report. Nancy Pelosi indicating to congressional Democrats late yesterday she does plan to continue to hold the articles of impeachment against President Trump. Not going to turn them over right now. Doesn't know what to do. Former Vice President Joe Biden saying, if I'm elected, I would require illegal aliens to learn English if they want to become a U.S. citizen. That's not what his immigration proposal actually says. So what are we to believe, what he said in his speech or what his official immigration proposal reads? We do know this, that Democrats in the state of New York might soon give all illegal aliens the ability to register to vote when they apply for a driver's license. We knew that was going to happen. Oh, and by the way, another would-be White House candidate from the Democrats, Michael Bloomberg, says, what you need to do, employers in this nation, you need to hire the best workers from around the world instead of Americans. In other words, hire foreigners instead of give them jobs to Americans. Michael Bloomberg. Remember that name.
Larry Connors, USA. News and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. Good morning. I'm pleased to inform you the American people should be extremely grateful and happy. No Americans were harmed in last night's attack by the Iranian regime.
That is President Trump earlier this morning delivering his first remarks since missiles from Iraq rained down on two bases in Iran where we have U.S. forces. Now, some have said that Iran made clear that it did not want to hit where it could have gotten U.S. casualties. They just had to show something. You know, put a rocket up in the sky, show that we're going to do something, because Trump took out their chief military leader, Soleimani. Well, even the Ayatollah of Iran says what happened last night was a slap on the wrist and means nothing, which suggests there are still going to be additional actions. President Trump, last night when we began to see this rain of missiles coming down, and by that, 15 of them. They have something like 2,000, so it was just 50. And I say just 15, you don't want to be at the receiving end of either one of them. But he could have given the order to fire back. We've got submarine or ship-launched Tomahawk missiles that could hit targets from hundreds of miles away. We got B-2 stealth bombers that could destroy enemy air defenses from high altitudes. Never detected. We got F-22s, F-35s that could attack fighter jets with long-range sensors and air-to-air weapons. We got amphibious assault ships we could launch. carriers that could put F-18s into attack in the missions. And the Pentagon even recently testing medium-range cruise missiles from fixed ground locations. That's what we've got in our arsenal that we could and might still have to resort to using. But former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee says that's not what this president really wants to see happen.
He is exactly who he presented himself to be as a candidate and as a president. He doesn't want war, but he's not going to let Americans just get killed and him look the other way and act like it didn't happen. I think we want a president who fights for America but doesn't get us into somebody else's fight. He has been totally consistent with that, and we ought to be grateful.
He absolutely has, and as I said in my opening monologue in the last hour, this is why I voted for Trump over Hillary Clinton. Because Hillary Clinton would have done exactly what Obama did, continue to appease, offer the money, maybe they'll go away. President Trump pointed that out today. He said Iran's hostilities substantially increased after the foolish Iran nuclear deal was signed in 2013, and they were given $150 billion, not to mention another $1.8 billion in cash. And as he pointed out today, did they say thank you? No, they were too busy chanting death to America. He said they chanted death to America the day the agreement was signed. And then Iran went on a terrorist spree funded by the money from that deal, creating hell in Yemen, Syria, Lebanon, Afghanistan, and Iraq. And then he adds this point. The missiles fired last night at us and our allies were paid for with the funds made available by the Obama administration. That's a fact. Our sanctions already we've imposed upon Iran, they wouldn't have money to carry out some of these activities. And, of course, we've allowed some oil dealings to take place. Now President Trump is saying we're going to step up sanctions again. It's going to hurt the Iranian people more than it will the leaders for a period of time. And he closed out his remarks today stating, to the people and leaders of Iran, we want you to have a future and a great future, one that you deserve, one of prosperity at home in harmony with the nations of the world. The U.S. is ready to embrace peace with all who seek it. He's not banging the drum and saying, now stand by after those missiles were fired on us last night. Watch this, see what we do next. It could be in part because we had no U.S. casualties. And maybe again, that's exactly what the Iranian missile launch plans were. Do not kill any Americans. Get close, make some noise, but don't kill them. And of course, what would be our full direct action against Iran? I just listed numerous weapons, and not one of them involved boots on the ground. Here are the words of Senator Ted Cruz of Texas.
We are not going to get into an extended land war in the Middle East. We're not going to do it. And when you see Democrats in the media lighting their hair on fire and saying we're headed to World War III, this is hysteria driven by the fact that they hate Donald Trump, because it used to be the case that we could all come together and say that when there's a terrorist who's targeting Americans, in this case, Soleimani had just directed an attack on the U.S. embassy in recent days, that taking out a terrorist targeting Americans is a good thing. I commend President Trump for following principles of peace through strength. But at the same time, we're not going to be sending our sons and daughters into harm's way for an extended land battle.
Good. I think he's going to be right about that. He doesn't want it. Trump doesn't want it. None of us want it. Well, then what do we want from Iran? I mean, if we're going to continue to deal with these guys and they're going to continue to go down this terrorist road, what do we want to happen inside Iran? What is our goal for Iran? Senator Ted Cruz again.
Our mission should not be, sometimes Republicans have gotten off track and have thought that our mission should be to turn foreign countries into democratic utopias. I don't want to turn Iran into Switzerland. I think it would be a wonderful thing for the Iranian people if they overthrew the Ayatollah and if they ended this tyranny and oppression. But it's not the job of our soldiers to go in and risk their lives to do that. It is the job of our soldiers to keep America safe, and killing terrorists is a very good way to start.
Yes, and also Senator Lindsey Graham had pointed out, which I used his sound in the last hour, that if Iran's going to continue along this route, we will strike back. And by that, I'm talking about long-range strikes from the missiles and planes identified a moment ago and additional drones. And he made it very clear what our capabilities are. Let's hear again from Senator Lindsey Graham.
This was an act of war. The missiles were launched from Iran at targets inside of Iraq, housing U.S. military personnel. The president has all the authority he needs under Article 2 to respond. The price to be paid by the Iranians has to go up before they will change. And the president is not looking for regime change, but he is looking for behavior changes. Let me say tonight, if you're watching television in Iran, I just got off the phone to the president. Your fate is in your own hands in terms of the regime's economic viability. You continue this crap, you're going to wake up one day out of the oil business.
Out of the oil business. Senator Lindsey Graham, his remarks last night after those missiles were being fired from Iran into Iraq, targeting locations where we have U.S. facilities. But again, no American casualties, no Iraqi casualties. Apparently no one was killed, and we haven't seen any reports of any injuries as well. So today, President Trump is trying to take an approach saying, all right, you had your fire back at us. Let it be. Let's move on. But the Iranian supreme religious leader is saying what we did last night against the U.S. is a slap on the wrist, and he's indicating we should do more. And keep in mind what you hear from the Democrats and those on that side. This is happening because the U.S. pulled out of the Iran deal, signed off by President Obama. Not as a treaty. He could not have gotten it through the U.S. Senate, where it had to be approved as a treaty. He just did it by executive order and action. And when he did that, he supposedly bought time that Iran would stand still, not pursue nuclear capability. We know that they didn't stop. We know it just by the fact of what we cannot verify. They have nuclear construction and facilities inside military bases, and they would not allow UN inspectors to come and go at their choosing at untold times and dates to just come in and look, and certainly not in their military bases. We know by that they were doing what they wanted. And then over this last weekend, they quickly added some additional remarks. This is what they said. By taking the fifth step in reducing its commitment, the Islamic Republic of Iran eliminates the last key operational restriction it faced under the JCPOA. That would be the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the so-called Iran nuclear deal. Saying we have eliminated the last key of operational restriction we faced, which is a limitation imposed on the number of centrifuges. But what they announced Sunday and what they've been doing had nothing to do with us taking out Soleimani. They already began to discard the deal. We're not following it. We're doing what they wanted. And that statement indicates that last step was already scheduled in advance. Already scheduled in advance. And yet you watch many of the mainstream media here tie Iran's decision to step up and take away the last obstruction to building nuclear weapons and tie it to the assassination, I should say, and it is assassination, I don't mind using that word, but taking out this terrorist Soleimani. They were already doing that. This deal signed between Iran, the U.S., Britain, France, China, Russia, and Germany was supposed to have them removing various facilities, filling it with concrete, giving us proof. They never have done that. Why? Because they never intended of going along with that deal. Never. And yet this president has made it clear, we're not going to be appeasing you as you got from the previous administration. And he said, what we're going to do is continue to escalate sanctions. In his remarks today, President Trump said, we want to make a deal that allows Iran to thrive and prosper and take advantage of its enormous untapped potential. Iran can be a great country. Peace and stability cannot prevail in the Middle East as long as Iran continues to foment violence, unrest, hatred, war. The civilized world must send a clear and unified message to the Iranian regime. Your campaign of terror, murder, mayhem will not be tolerated anymore. It will not be allowed to go forward. And the president said, I'm asking NATO to get more involved. I think he's doing everything exactly right at this point. But you've got the Democrats and the mainstream media out there constantly firing their own missiles at this president and the White House, claiming that he's pushing us deeper into the brink of a war. If he wanted to last night, the minute those missiles were up in the air coming at us, he could have unleashed unholy hell on any one of sites he wanted to in Iran. But he didn't. So, why are the Democrats continuing to push this issue against Trump? They think it's a winning idea. That story's still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, shortly before Iran fired those missiles into Iraq, Iran sent an official verbal message to Iraq, telling the Iraqi prime minister the strike is coming, but it's going to be limited to whereabouts of the U.S. military in Iraq. They did not give a specific location. As it turned out, no Americans were killed, no Iraqis killed, and they did not hit prime targets, which they could have. They did land missiles close to the U.S. consulate in Erbil, but did not target the consulate itself, even though they could have. And they could have struck other areas where it would be more populated by Americans. They targeted two Iraqi bases housing U.S. troops, but they did not go direct where they would find the most Americans. Some are believing that Iran intentionally directed missiles to hit areas not overly populated by Americans. They were using this as a message rather than a significant action. Why would they do that? Well, of course, according to some, they feared the reaction. They did not want to be caught in what would happen next. I also have not had a chance to deal with it. Let me touch on that now. As those missiles were being fired, I think out of 15, at least 10 hit a target area. Four may or may not have or didn't work, whatever. It's not clear. Why weren't we shooting them down with our Patriot and Avenger anti-missile defense systems? Well, because we don't have any of those assets in that region of the world. We don't have the Patriot and Avenger anti-missile defense systems in that location at those Iraqi bases targeted by Iran. We had them deployed in other locations in the Middle East because originally in Iran and Iraq, we were dealing with ISIS, which did not have missile capability. Now, I'm not sure what will change next, if we'll be sending the Patriot Defense System in place. I assume we probably would. But we did not do it and did not have it last night because we couldn't do it. Iran has more than 2,000 ballistic missiles, firing off 15 of them last night. It was basically making some noise. And even the Ayatollah, the religious leader of Iran, apparently wants to see more action. President Trump has made it clear that, hey, we didn't do anything in response last night. Take this as a win for your little PR campaign and cease and desist. And failure to do so and to continue to target and actually end up harming or killing U.S. personnel or citizens, you will pay a price. But right now, President Trump is saying it appears Iran is standing down. So he's handled this in a measured way, a perfect way, and yet the Democrats and the mainstream media continue to attack him, partly because it's him. And then, of course, we have Democrats saying one way to deal with what's facing us is maybe prayer. Really? You remember how many times that they have condemned you after a gun shooting violence when you say, let's pray about it, and they mock you for your prayer? I think the tables are turning. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDruryLaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, let's spend some time on how the Democrats are framing Trump's recent actions. You don't need me to tell you. You already know where they're going. They're already off shouting that he's doing everything wrong. He's going to get us in a major war. That he doesn't know what he's doing. He's incompetent. And they all follow the same line of reasoning, which is no reasoning. They simply parrot each other. They're like little children running around mimicking. Whatever one of them says, the other one says, me too. That's pretty much it. They don't have a single clear thought of their own. And they also find safety in the numbers, believing that, well, he said it, it must be good. By he, it could be Joe Biden. Joe Biden was on NBC being questioned by Lester Holt. And was asked, you spent time in the Situation Room. Do you give a president, the president, the benefit of doubt when he says there was intelligence of an imminent attack? Of course, that's reference to why the Trump administration said we took out Soleimani, that we had evidence of an imminent threat. He was going to carry out additional strikes against U.S. interest. I've told you before, I don't really care. I don't care if we had word of an imminent threat or not. We had a chance to get him outside Iran, which he was not supposed to leave. The UN Security Council had told him, you stay in Iran. He left, went into Iraq, thinking I can do what I want, and because he's there, I have no problem in taking revenge for 600 Americans he ordered, basically on his orders, that were killed. I don't need word of an imminent attack. But that was the story we got from the White House at that time. So Holt is asking, do you give this president the benefit of doubt when he says it was intelligence of an imminent attack? Biden's response, I don't give him the benefit of doubt of anything. Holt said, you don't believe him? Biden said, it could be true, but I don't give him the benefit of doubt because he's lied so much about virtually anything and everything. Let's go to Joe Biden, thinking that taking out Soleimani was an escalatory move. That's his claim. Let me take you back to the time when you're in the Bill Clinton's era administration and Joe Biden was a senator. Iran's tanker truck bombed the Khobar Towers, a U.S. Air Force military housing complex in Dahran, Saudi Arabia. 19 airmen killed, 500 others injured. At that time, again, Democrat Bill Clinton was president. And then we took a response with an airstrike. And then Biden, to say what Trump has done now, most recently, in taking out Soleimani, is an escalatory move based on the history of this guy. And yet, at that time, Joe Biden, as a senator, basically said, when asked what should we be doing after this bombing in Saudi Arabia, quote, take whatever action it deems appropriate. That's it. Take any action deemed appropriate. That was Biden then. What's the difference? Well, of course, now he's been serving as vice president, now he's a candidate for the White House. And it's Donald Trump in the White House, not Bill Clinton. And yet, Biden has no problems in putting any kind of label he can to make you believe that Trump is dangerous. At a campaign event in New York, he said the president's, quote, haphazard decision to launch the attack on Soleimani was dangerous. He said the missile strikes targeting our U.S. forces early Wednesday, he's just stated, I pray to God, as Trump goes through what's happening as we speak, that he's listening to his military commanders for the first time, because so far that's not been the case, and describing Trump as dangerously incompetent. Of course, Biden is trying to make himself stand out against the other would-be candidates for the White House. One thing that might help him, ironically, in this, when he's considering and declaring that Donald Trump is making a crisis in Iran, the 77-year-old Biden can talk about his prior responsibility as a vice president and suggest that you're going to need me as we move forward because of Iran and because of Trump. In other words, he could turn around and credit Donald Trump for maybe helping him win the Democrat primary. But, of course, he's not the only one challenging Trump. Nancy Pelosi, after those missiles were launched against our U.S. bases, she said, closely monitoring the situation following bombings targeting U.S. troops in Iraq, we must ensure the safety of our service members, including ending needless provocations from the administration. She's blaming Trump for needless provocation. What would that be? Taking out the Iranian General Soleimani last week. Well, again, Iran could have hit better targets than what they chose. They could have hit areas where they had more Americans at risk. Why didn't they do it? Because I think they have recognized that it would not be a smart move and they would have more to lose if they killed Americans. I mean, one of those missiles, some of them, landed close to a U.S. consulate, but they could have targeted the consulate itself. They didn't. They were hitting military bases in Iraq where we have some U.S. troops stationed. But the leftist media and those on the left, they're not on the streets with the Iranians chanting death to America, but they might as well be as they continue to question this president and know that their words are being echoed and repeated on the international stage. You get some kind of stupid remark like Michael Moore, the filmmaker, showing a picture of all those turning out for the funeral of Soleimani, I should say. And he's saying, just wondering, is there an American general from whom millions of us would turn out for his funeral? Does Michael Moore not know and understand that in Iran, many of those that were in the streets were probably Iran troops and our families and Iranian employees? And they're ordered to go into the streets. And don't you dare say, I'm not going. A doctor's excuse will not keep you out of that demand. Then you get another Democrat candidate, Sanders. He's comparing Trump taking out Soleimani to Putin assassinating dissidents. Soleimani was responsible for 600 U.S. deaths. 600. So what are we getting from the Democrats now? Well, of course, they're coming forward, and their response is to offer prayers for our U.S. service troops following the Iran missile attacks and to pray for de-escalation. I'm all in favor of that. I have no problem with it. But what gets me is that every time there's been a mass shooting of some type, and Americans who are not so worried about gun control as Democrats are, but are concerned about the loss of life, and we pray for those victims and their families, and Democrats mock you for your prayer. Your prayer does nothing. And yet in this case, they want to hold close to their Bibles, clutching their Bibles this time. Senator Elizabeth Warren, Massachusetts, saying in a campaign event, the Iranian government just announcing it sent missiles to attack our military bases in Iraq. My three brothers all served in the military. At this moment, my heart and my prayers are with the members of the military and their families. I thank her for that, and I think our troops and their families would thank Senator Warren for that. But what gets me again is that they have a different view of prayer when they can use it to make themselves look saintly. Senator Cory Booker, Democrat, New Jersey, wrote on Twitter, praying for the safety of our troops and personnel in Iraq right now. And maybe he was. And if he is, good, I'm glad. But see, to them, prayer is not something you can exercise when you're praying for someone, victims after a mass shooting. What you need to be acknowledging is that your prayers didn't stop that shooting, won't stop another, isn't bringing those lives back. But here in this case, they can continue to say, we pray for them. Buttigieg, of course, who had been a veteran deployed to Afghanistan, made his remarks after the attack on our facilities in Iraq. He said, tonight, Americans in Iraq are under fire. My prayers are with them. Good. Amy Klobuchar, praying for our service members. This is fine. I'm all for it. I'm glad to see them suddenly endorsing the power of prayer. But I guess they believe that their prayer is more powerful than yours and that their prayer really means something where yours doesn't. Let me tell you what some students did, very religious students, in a moment.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Thank you. someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Talking about how she can make it right. Yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
On Larry Connors USA Facebook, first of all, I remind you that if you miss any of today's program or any other programs, you can go to Larry Connors USA Facebook and pull up the podcast. My director, Quentin Cornegay, is very good about posting them almost immediately after we wrap each program. And if you missed the last hour and the interview with Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, you should go back and listen to at least that part of the program. And let your friends and neighbors know that they can do the same. We have a lot of comments that come in a day, two, 3 days after we air something. And then we have some that are using Larry Connors USA Facebook for texting while we're actually on the air. One of them today coming from Gary. And he's not a Trumper supporter. And he's always calling in Drump, as if that would make a difference in anything. But he's talking about that we had no American casualties on these attacks that took place last night as Iraq was targeted, two different facilities, by Iranian missiles. And he's saying it was a staged plan attack. Well, of course, it's a staged plan attack. And the point, as I was raising earlier, the Iraqis may have known we better not hit any real major U.S. targets or we might face the wrath of the U.S. and all of its weapons. I don't expect it's over at this point. And I do know and expect that we'll see individual terrorist-type actions throughout the world. I fully expect it. And as I was saying in the last hour, some of the Democrats running for the White House now are offering prayers to our U.S. troops. I don't hear them praying for President Trump to make right decisions moving forward, which I think should be critical. I don't hear them offering one bit of acceptance for what he did in taking out Soleimani, a terrorist considered by experts to be more dangerous than Osama bin Laden. I hear only complaints and concerns and attack and then prayer for our troops. I'm not knocking their prayer. I'm glad they're on their knees praying, or at least say they are. I know many Democrats that are not for Trump are religious and they believe in prayer. The problem I have, and make sure you understand the distinction, is not claiming Democrats can't pray. They can and they do. But why many of those same Democrats want to mock you when you're praying for victims after a mass shooting and claiming that your prayers do nothing? You haven't solved this crisis and you're doing nothing to help. They mock you for that then. I'm not mocking Democrats praying at this point. I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy that exists. And here's a question. Do you think God wants you to be a better Republican or a better Democrat? My answer is, I think God wants you to be a better Christian, a follower. I told you the other day about this event involving college students. It took place at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. They spent their new year. When the new year dawned, they were in prayer. Students, 18 to 25 years of age, 80 different countries, 1,700 colleges and universities gathered for a campaign called Share Light. This is not the first time they've had this. They use it to raise money for what they consider a worthy cause. 65,000 attending, and they raised $1.2 million. Well, where's the money going? Let me come back to that in a moment. When they called this campaign Share Light, they had lit a flame in Jerusalem and then carried it into the conference as a symbol of shining the light of Jesus to the world. Now, if you're Jewish or you're Muslim, you don't accept Jesus, that's okay. Many of us do. You will not see me criticize you for a Jewish religion in your approach, nor Muslim. That is your religion, your choice, your God. That's you. But what these students were doing, they were preaching Jesus, and they were saying, what we need to do is have the Word of God everywhere. And they acknowledge that many people in different parts of the world, and even in rare languages, do not have the Word of God in their native tongue. So here's why, or what they did with that $1.2 million. They're spending it on Bible translation projects, making it possible for every person on the planet to experience the Bible in their own language. And that's not just the New Testament, that's the Old Testament as well. Getting a chance for everyone to hear and read the Word of God in their language. It's that kind of initiative, this kind of love and caring, that really mean the world can be better. It can. Thank you for listening. Back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.